15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, northern Delaware, and the state of New Jersey. And as always, you can listen from anywhere in the USA or anywhere in the world simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. You can also listen to rebroadcasts anytime you want. If you're not available when you are at your radio or at your desk at 11 a.m., well, you can listen to the rebroadcast. And I want to tell you, in my travels, I meet a lot of wonderful people. I often tell them, well, one of these days you should call in and we should be able to talk to you because they have a lot of great ideas. But many people are hesitant because they don't want to become known as participating in the movement. They're still very afraid to speak up. We see a lot of people out on the streets protesting things, but we don't see anybody on the streets protesting for jobs. And that's something all of us on American Workers Radio have been trying to address for some time. First of all, I want to thank our panel members who are volunteers who do their best to promote one of the most important things that a person can have, and that is a job to support themselves and their family. I want to thank Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Now, I just want to mention that I'm pretty up on things, and if I say something, I always check it out on the internet, I Google, whatever, to make sure the facts and the figures are exactly where I am saying they are. First of all, today I would like to say thanks to Mark Andel, who was great last week during the broadcast. I got a lot of good, positive publicity from promoting what he had to say last week. During the President's Day holiday, I went around to some big and small stores, and I want to tell you, I speak to managers who are on our side, and it's without question. Larkin, it's without question that small businesses add to the positive landscape of America's economy. However, there is one big problem. The small businesses are supplied by merchandisers, and the merchandisers, believe it or not, are controlling this issue, not just for a year or two. It's been going on for 15 and 20 years. They control the products on the sales lists of the stores. We could have a lot of extra American-made items, especially items you'll see in Mark's store and people down south. There's a lot more American-made, but the merchandisers don't want to put it on their sales list. As a result of some of our results with this radio program, store managers are saying that everything rests in the hands of the suppliers. But if the people go in, speak up, and maybe bypass the product for now, or maybe look around. And by the way, there are a lot of new products coming up in the system that don't have a beautiful label or a well-known name, but they are new American-made little and medium-sized and smaller companies that have been coming up. The big factory days are not going to be the way they were in the past. And every store manager tells me, you know, sometimes I have a special feature for the spring or the summer, and that's now coming from North Carolina or Texas, and they don't make a tremendous amount. So I order what I can, and then by the end of the season, it's already gone. And they're happy to have it because that small company is then upsetting them their lines for fall and Christmas stuff, or because the stores already ordered it a year in advance. But right now, guys, Availability of foreign-made products far outweighs anything that we can imagine having with an American-made label. That's a sad fact to discuss, but it's very important that we add this to our issue to make sure that the people in the stores are able to actually say to their merchandisers, people are bypassing the products, and we're losing our money. We have an issue in Philadelphia regarding the soda tax. People are just going elsewhere. They're going to the counties. They're doing without. They're not going to pay the soda tax. And, I mean, we had today on the front page of the Daily News, there was a whole article that how many people are losing their jobs as a result of this tax. And people are starting to become a little more open about not just going along with the flow. I want to also, before I go to our great panel members, I want to let you know that there is a special link that Mark Andel sent to us last week. It is now on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And the title, it's right under Support the American Made Label. This is happening all over the United States of America, and we need to replace our retiring factory workers right now, because you'll be frightened to see what's really going on. It's only about an 8-minute video, but I encourage you to look at it. I want to thank Henry for posting that on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It'll be a very informative, and Mark, thanks for sending it in. What is new, Mark, and have you received any responses as a result of this article that appeared in your Western New York media?
Yes. How you doing, Mike? And I think Rich is on, Larkin and Henry, and and all the listeners. Mike, it's been exciting. That TV two up here in our area, West New York, that was a big segment. Scott Brown spent about 2-3 months on, and he couldn't believe he hears there's employees looking for jobs or people looking for jobs, and he can't believe there's disconnects. And when he met me, he called me and knows what we're all about, supporting a skilled worker, and he wanted to know what's going on. And I said, number one was the soft skills. You got to find the young kids or workers or people looking for work that want to work and want to come in, and could be 15 minutes early is on time. But I said the other problem, they don't have the skill set. And we got talking about it, and you watched it, Mike, I believe, and maybe some of the team. And it was point on. In West New York, you're going to have 135,000, I think, workers retiring within 5 to 10 years. The average age of a welder is 65 years old. And lately, I've had the most hope in the last 30 days than I've had in a long time, being the oil and mining industry opening up, the military contracts opening up, and the Dodd-Frank Act being reviewed, which is hopefully lightening the pressure on borrowing money from the bank for capital. So I've had a lot of positive. We got light at the end of the tunnel. But the worst, most frustrating part is going to be not finding workers, not being able to get skilled workers to do the work that I receive and when. So it's going to be very frustrating, because we waited 5-6 years for work again, and we're going to have it. And this shortage is huge. I predict it's going to be the largest talked about thing, if they could ever get past talking about the crap they talk about Trump about. This is a serious problem, skilled worker shortage. My military contract company, a little small company called Northrop Grumman, can't find employees to assemble these simulator projects that we build. This is everywhere hitting. It's such a shortage, Mike, and it's such a big – even if they start putting pressure on it now, it takes 4 years to produce somebody out of school. So it's a big shortage. That segment, thank you for putting it on your website. Very a good segment. We got a lot of feedback. They've got a website you can go to. We're looking at the veterans. We're looking at people that are been past 26 weeks unemployment. But the skill set, it's just not out there right now for the welders, the plumbers, the millwright type work. And it's a shame that the country got to this point. Again, it's a 35-year mistake.
It is shameful that the country got to this point. You have no idea how everybody is now talking about it. I think that this election woke up a lot of people. And by the way, when I go places, people say, well, I voted for Trump because I didn't want a traditional candidate. I wanted somebody who was going to tell the media off. I wanted somebody. I mean, you knew from day one what President Trump was going to be. You saw it in the primary. You saw it in the at the convention. You saw it after the convention. This is a person who speaks his mind, and he you know, people respect that. We've been dancing around for so many years on issues. Can anyone ever explain to me in human services? I will tell you, it's absolutely a disgrace to see how many of these people in human services are filling up, bloating up all these systems, giving people welfare. Yet there is no focus on getting people back into the skills, teaching them how to be entrepreneurs, nothing. It's all give them more, give them money so they could spend the money in the economy. But guess what? The economy's sinking every year that the debt goes up. And that's because we're spending more than we take in. The only way we're going to reverse it is to get those people back employed, back to job skills. And when they go to school, they have to have a new way of doing business. And we're going to talk about that in the next week or two, because school boards meet with parents and they meet with the funders from the state beginning in the first or second week of March. So we have to talk about this issue. Maybe I'll talk to a few of the people that come on, because the schools got the message that the kids are going nowhere. The sheepskin takes you to zero land, other than to Debtsville. If they don't have a skill when they graduate, it's no one else's fault but the school and the school board and everything else. We're paying for these people to be in the schools. They have to come out with something. And the excuses where, oh, they're quitting school and all, you don't have that in Europe. There's nobody quit school. Everybody has to go to their best human potential. And that's something we have to return to America. Welfare is not your best human potential. Yes, Larkin, how are you?
I'm fine, Michael. Good morning. Sorry I missed you all last week.
We missed you terrible, Larkin.
No, I don't think it was all that bad, but I can't even remember where I was. Oh, I know where I was. I was in Herndon, Virginia, and this morning I'm in the lobby of Lowe's Anatole in Dallas, Texas. And all I can promise you is I'm going to be home tomorrow.
God bless you. Larkin, you're a man who loves to be on the go. Love it. Love it.
Well, I'm afraid that if I sit down, I'll fall asleep. you're right. Let me make a remark about Trump. I think everybody knew when they voted for him what they were going to get. We've elected a president who's never held a political office in his life, and now he's got the biggest political office in the world. And I just wish that politically we'd all get behind the guy and do like we used to do, be the loyal opposition and say, President Trump, we don't think you ought to close the borders, and let's discuss this. You know, Trump came out thinking he was the president and started writing all these orders. Somewhere along the line, the loyal opposition and the citizens that disagree with them have to let them know that they disagree with them. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump has to grow into the office of the presidency, and he's going to have to learn, you know, how to get things done through the presidency and in that wonderfully efficient city called Washington, D.C. And if everybody will just back off and let him do what he was elected to do, it'd be a lot more quieter and a lot more productive. But unfortunately, the press, and I'm not asking for the press to be set aside and quieted, they have a responsibility in this country to keep us informed and to keep politicians and businesses and regular people in check, and that's what they do.
You know, Larkin, you're right, and I want to add one thing there, because I talk to people and they say this. I say, do you remember 25 years ago we mainly had three or four news outlets on the air? When cable came on, then CNN came on and Fox and Business Network and all. And the problem is they get a few stories And they're on 24 hours a day. Before, they threw everything into an hour or half an hour of news. Today, it's 24 hours. So they have all these panelists looking for the worst, not the best. Always looking for the worst. On certain stations, on others, it's a little better. But the thing is, you're right, they have to back off, and let's rally to the attention of the president, the House, the Senate, what is really needed in America. Job skills is number one. Job skills is killing this country. By the way, I have to tell you this. Henry gave me these statistics yesterday. For the record, since 2001, America lost 2.7 million jobs to one place alone. China alone, 2.7 million jobs. Now, could you imagine if China was not there and those 2.7 million jobs were located still in the USA? Now, during the next 10 years, nearly 3.5 million manufacturing jobs will be needed in America, mainly because a lot of companies are now interested in putting back the American label into existence. But it's also reported, these are Henry Chaplinsky statistics to me, but it's also reported that 2 million of the jobs will go unfilled due to skills gaps that we've allowed to happen because we're not graduating the people from our schools with those skills. Second reason is that we allowed those industries to leave America and leave nothing behind but dust. Now to restore those people, restore those jobs, restore those skills is going to take time, which simply means, everybody, that simply means that the merchandisers will continue to control us, control bringing the stuff over from overseas where they have an endless supply. Mark, if I said to you, and Larkin, if I said to you, and Rich, I said to you, and Henry, I said to you, can I go to any American outlet right now and have an entire warehouse filled with American-made labels other than Mark's place? The answer is no. And that's where the problem is. That's where the merchandisers have us by the you-know-what.
I feel Rich waiting to come on, Mike.
Rich, you've heard it all. Let's hear it.
Well, good morning, guys. Well, happy to be back to our listeners.
Did you have did you do a good job for Mark last week?
You know, I want to thank you, Rich, first off, and I owe you a call.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Rich is outstanding, Mike, no matter where you put him, but CSI Rich is sharp.
Yeah, I went in with my toolkit. You know, had made sure I pontificated politically while I was there. You know, that truck was big, Mark. I mean, there might have been a couple bodies in that truck. You might want to sweep it, like, just to make sure you got everything out of there.
And Rich is being nice. He's wondering, how did I ever meet this Mark?
I know. I told Mark, I said, this Made in America stuff is tough. If it was made in Taiwan, it'd have been a lot easier. You know,
that's exactly right.
And Sue was so thankful she got a couple nights sleep because of Rich.
I was happy to help. It was for the cause. I can't wait for Mark until you got those products up on the site. 100% American-made clothing. All kinds of articles of clothing. I was happy to help. It's a lot of conversation with the business people I met about Made in America. They did echo a lot of what, Mark, you've been saying about there's a renewed optimism, and I think there's also there's some of the confidence is beginning to restore itself. And you know, Michael, I want to make a point about something you just said about coming on the show, speaking up. So a week ago, I attended a meeting where the gentleman running the meeting was the state of Oregon political director for the Trump campaign. And we spoke for a few hours after the meeting. And one of the things, and this was a meeting for new prospective political candidates and some other people, so I'm not announcing a candidacy on the show, Michael. I don't know if being a political candidate is the business for me, but I'm not saying no to it. I'm just saying I don't know. But one of the things that I said to him, and I spoke about this at length actually with the group there, When you mentioned about people not speaking up and not coming on the show, the thing that people, like, if people are awakened, if this is true, and I think it is, then one of the points of awakening is that when you stay home, or when you're ignorant about things, when you're indifferent and apathetic to things, what you're doing is actually empowering that side that Larkin is talking about, this very uncivil, fierce opposition. Fierce opposition is fine. Everybody has fierce opposition along the way. It's the totalitarian, uncivil side of it. So right now, when you're staying home and not doing things and not paying attention, you're actually empowering that side. And it comes back to this point that I've brought up on the show before, which is, you know, whom do you really want? When you really think about it, forget the Republican-Democrat thing. That thing's becoming obsolete. When you really look at the American thing, right, the, you know, sovereignty thing, whom do you want picking the government? I mean, do you want Lark and Connolly and Mark Andel and Henry Chaplinsky picking the government, or do you want all the celebrities we saw at the Writers Guild the other night? You know, and those are people who are very talented. They're very good at what they do, but they pretend for a living. You know, they make-believe, Mark, for a living, right? And they make-believe very well for a living, and I'm not putting it down. They're very skilled at it. But when you let people who can be convinced into believing anything and make-believe pick the government, well, that's the kind of government you get, Michael. I mean, it's just that there's a direct correlation is what I'm saying here. So Main America ties into all of this because part of that awareness is understanding that if we don't get back to making things and having small businesses thriving again, we're just going to continue on the state as God nanny state, this dependency state. And if we don't start to reverse that, and we're starting to see some of it now with the president, and now we're listening to the Congress talking about these things, Michael, it's going to be really, like, if we just keep letting this thing fester, it doesn't matter who's going to be in that office. We're not going to be able to reverse it. It's going to get to the point of no return. Now, I think we are not at that point. I do, however, think we would have been at that point had the presidential election gone the reverse, because I still believe, and I said it at this event last week, that had Hillary Clinton been elected, the Democrats would have never lost a presidential election ever again. And they would have had the Supreme Court forever. And talk about the media, Michael, this is exactly why the Internet must remain untouched. Untouched.
I agree.
Because the way that the media – see, media lies are bad, okay? Media lies are bad. Let me tell you guys what's – let me tell our listeners, as a former journalist, what's actually way, way worse than lies, though. What's way worse than lies is actually withholding information from you. And this selective outrage that they push through on their narratives. Now, if we didn't have an unfiltered, untouched Internet, we wouldn't be able to find out the information that the media withholds from us. Lying to me is bad. But withholding from me, Michael, long-term has a much worse effect. And that's exactly where the media got caught on this, on that point right there. Everyone knows the media's been biased. Everybody knows the media, you know, feign their objectivity, okay? But where they really got their hand caught in the cookie jar this time around was all of the information that they saw fit not to withhold. You know, New York Times, all the news that's fit to print. Well, they also think all the news that we deem fit to print, when they know full well that if they were holding truly journalistically objective standards, they'd be reporting a lot of the stories that I send you guys and I send our listeners. So that's why we have to keep the Internet untouched and not at any time ever. And our last president attempted to do that by sending the way we register domains out to the United Nations so we could have all of these, let's just say these are a lot of these countries, Michael, freedom isn't at the top of the agenda, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now. So all of this is very much intertwined and tied in. But if we're not going to remain consistent and keep the momentum up, we're going to be right back in the same spot 4 years from now. That's the thing that I kept telling everyone.
You're right, Rich. I want to just tell you one more thing, which I think Mark and you and Larkin will appreciate. For the record, this is Henry's also researched this. Since January of 2010, the United States has added 520,000 manufacturing jobs. That's a nice amount of jobs. However, just 50,000 of those jobs were from firms that decided to come back to the United States of America. And that's a very good statistic, because that means that some of our industries are expanding their product lines. We were losing. There's a decent number of new people coming in. There's going to be 6 million factory jobs available in the United States in the next few years, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The problem that they say, the second line, is the skills gap is unbelievable. And that's where the problem is. That's where the press can play a major part. Rich, they are on 24 hours a day, flogging Trump, flogging Hillary, flogging whoever. How about an hour show talking about how we're going to restore industries, how we're going to reduce the taxes, how we're going to get the skills back in the schools? The press is very valuable, but they're not using their capital, their human potential.
Like the press is so negative, and it's like living in Buffalo. We get 7 days of total blue sky in Buffalo. You know, we're tough. We're in Buffalo, New York, right? Dead of the winter. But the press being so negative just keeps people down. I want to tell a little story. I got a call Saturday. I was with Jackie, my wife, and we got a call. And the L.A. Times national reporter, Barb, and the photojournalist came to our store. They flew in, and they wanted to meet with me. I didn't have time then. They stayed overnight at a local hotel, and then they came in Sunday. And they came, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be about. And I love what Ricketts said, R&D is kind of obsolete to me. But I'm with the American Party. I always tell people that. I love America. I'm not ashamed of that. And I say, one team, one goal, one country, one goal. So I ended up meeting them. It ended up being a two-hour interview. Some will release this week. And these people, they were here interviewing different business. They stopped and they heard about the Made in America, our journey for 7 years, which was real interesting. I was kind of – I didn't want to be pulled one direction. I've been blessed with good – untwisted media. And they want to know the first 30 days with our new president, what's going on, different that. And I was honest with my business. It's been outstanding. Military contracts, oil and mining, HOPE, Dodd-Frank Act being reversed or reviewed, TPP being stopped, helps most of my 486 privately owned businesses, especially the textile industry and whatnot. And if you look into that, you know that. But then we got into our journey for the last 6 years, what we've done. She said, where did you come from? Why isn't everybody else doing this? And it ended up being almost 2 hours, and it was amazing. We went into the skilled trades gap. We went into Fisher-Price leaving East Aurora, not one toy being made here. We just all different things. But it was very, very interesting when she heard about the skilled trades and where we are. And I encourage the listeners to really get educated, really look into what's being done. And, you know, I'm in the game, so I know what's being done. And very interested that they flew out to Western New York, though. And we'll see what's to come, how it comes out, Mike.
Now, Mark, your experience with your near 500 suppliers is exactly what the merchandisers could really help with America and bring the people back to work.
They couldn't believe that I had 14 audits and last year in New York State alone. She said, what? And she couldn't believe we don't have a product that plugs in, that they don't make in the United States of America that I can sell.
Right. You know,
they
Mark,
their camera, they go, what?
Mark, you know what? It's what? In the hands of the merchandisers. That has to be our campaign.
Consumers can fix this, Mike. I truly
believe. Oh, absolutely. And you know that. You know what some of the stores tell me, the managers of the stores tell me, Michael, it's all at the hands of the merchandisers of if a product thrives or dies, because storekeepers sell to the customers what they're able to get from their merchandisers, and they stay in business. Getting suppliers to focus on American-made now is the challenge that we have, because people in the merchandising field want that same profit that they've been getting. They may get a little less from American-made stuff, but it has to start from somewhere. It has to be, you know what they say, remember, a wolf will never lose sleep over the opinion of sheep. We can't
support
be
the
sheep.
Country you live in.
Right. We can't be sheep anymore. Support the company and the country that support the company that employs your family, especially if they're making all American made or half 50-50 assembling, whatever. We have to get that American made label resurfaced again. Many of the stores say some of the companies are making it easy because they're putting little flags on their products and they have a little red and white. It's an attraction to the eye. How did we allow this to happen in the first place? As I said, you know yourself, Mark, when you get hit in the pocket, you react the most. As these people lost their jobs, Philadelphia is a perfect example of what can be done. They put a sugary drink tax on the people, and now everywhere I go, people are complaining to me about the sugary drink tax. I said, I didn't put the tax on you. Well, I want you to know I'm going out of the area to buy the sugar. Well, this is a perfect example of what we're telling the people. Go out of your way. Maybe go to another store. Go to a Fisher Price, somewhere where you know that you're going to find products. Maybe you won't find them in some of the big, big giant stores, but you may find those American-made items in local stores. Go to those local stores.
Mike,
support those
me,
people.
Can you tell us about that sugar tax, what that's about?
Well, in order to fund the schools and fix the recreation centers and add to the pension fund, they agreed to place a 1.5 cent tax per ounce on all sodas and juices and things like that. Well, if you're a person already living in peril, a person who's unemployed, living on a Social Security check, helping family members who are unemployed, you don't want to go out and pay for this kind of tax so that some child can go to a pre-K. A lot of the people are sending their children to a private pre-K, and this is just another new way of bringing more money to the people. Well, it flopped. It flopped, and it's only about 8 weeks old, and the people are rejecting it. They're going out of their way. They'll take a drive, load up 10 times the amount of soda that they were buying before, put it in their car, put it in their house. They'll know they'll use it by the expiration date, but they don't feel that they should be supporting someone else's child all the time.
So, Mike, that's a penny and a half per ounce. Like a 16
right.
ounce would be 24 cents.
Right.
Well, okay.
It's pretty scary. And it's pretty scary. And everywhere I go, that people talk to me, like, because I have political friends, they say to me, why don't you talk to these Mr. Potato Heads and tell them, you know, we're living in a new world. We're living in an overpriced world. He can't tax everything. Taxation, nanny government is not the way to accomplish anything good in America.
Michael, first off, let me preface by saying that as an idiot in South Florida, but still amongst the smartest people in America, because I have no snow in my winter. My weather is a balmy 74 today. I was dumped 35 years living in cold, Mark, so I know what that's like, you know, having cold winters. I'm no authority on this, Michael. And I know that people within the city government listen to our show. Thank you. But didn't the Philadelphia City Schools in the last few years basically have to wave the white flag and ask the state of Pennsylvania to come in to take over?
I'm not positive about that. Okay, but I think that school district in Philly is still, that was a suggestion in order to get additional funding.
All right, well, if it didn't happen, thriving school districts don't explore an option of being taken over.
If the school district said, we need that money, we're going to share it with pre-K and in restoring the skills in the schools, restoring the shop and the automotive and the welding and all that, people would say, well, that's very good. But to send someone's child to school, and then when they go up the ranks, eighth grade, ninth grade, there's nothing left for them to go in to some kind of a skill classes, a learning. People were laughing 10 years ago. I remember it well when they said they should restore whatever the classes where you learn how to sew and all that stuff. Well, they laughed. That was 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago in 07. Well, guess what? 10 years were wasted. Those people got out of the school. They still don't know how to sew or iron or do a checkbook or and all everything else, not only in Philadelphia, but all over the country.
Well, that's it. Okay, Michael, see, that's the thing, and this is where I don't want to isolate and single out the city of Philadelphia alone. And, again, I'm not sitting here cheerleading Republican-run cities as bastions of fiduciary solvency here, okay? But, again, this mentality in the long-time Democrat cities, let's just throw a ton of money at something, it'll magically make it work. It doesn't matter if you throw a quadrillion dollars at a failing entity, Michael. It's still going to fail. It's just going to fail having wasted a quadrillion dollars.
Exactly.
And that's why it doesn't work. That's why the policies and again, it's not just I'm not saying here and saying it's only Philly, okay? I'm saying that I love the city of Philadelphia. I love coming in. And now I'm going to really make myself persona non grata because I'm trying to convince people who are in the city to call in, and what they'll actually find, and what the Democrats in Philadelphia will find by calling into this show, is they'll be pleasantly surprised by finding that there's actually maybe some more agreement than disagreement. And when you look at the long-time Democrat cities, Michael, these policies that have really been, I mean, they were thrust to the forefront of this election, because there was a presidential campaign that went into many of those cities where people like McCain and Romney didn't really have the courage to go in there. Maybe their campaign advisors told them to do it. I have no idea. But I know that this time around went into those cities. So, like, for example, President Trump might not have won the city of Detroit, but guess what? He won the state of Michigan. So when you look at these policies all throughout the country, this let's throw money, let's tax, let's have more tax, let's have more expense, let's put a soda tax on, all this tax, let's make this money, it doesn't work.
Well, you know, Rich, you're right.
Like, and we only have like 6 or 7 decades of proof. I mean, how much more evidence do you need than 7 decades in some of these? I mean, how much do you need? City of Baltimore, 74 years of nothing but Democrats. City of Philadelphia, I bet you if I went, Michael, and looked at the history of City of Philadelphia, it's probably like 90% Democrat.
Well, it's very true. Here's the thing that I want to mention at this point, and I think it's well put right as we're discussing this. If we had a system in the schools where we said from first to third grade, this is where we want our children to be, and this is what we want them to learn. Then we go to fourth through sixth grade. By the time you get to junior high and high school, you should already have an idea who you are and what you're going to be.
Exactly.
None of that is going on now in any big number of school districts. Yes, there are some, but it's not the way it should be. There's all kinds of laws that come across. You know, as I do some of the things in human services, very often I ask somebody to fill out a sheet of paper to give me information about themselves. What I get back, I just don't understand it. Some of the writing, I can't understand what it says. How did this person get out of a school that the teacher allowed them just to scribble anything down because the teacher said, in the future, you'll be doing everything on your phone and on your computer. Writing will be obsolete. Nothing in America, nothing in the world should be obsolete. You should learn and grow every day of your life. Not to be a burden to anyone else, but to be a positive asset to yourself. And that's something that we're lacking. With that, I have to take a moment. Please give me one moment just to acknowledge a few of our wonderful sponsors who, by the way, support our broadcasts, which are heard 7 days a week here on 860. And we do love and appreciate all of our advertisers, our listeners, and the people who send us various community events that are announced throughout the week. I want to thank Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. I want to thank the Washington Savings Bank and their President Martin Bednarek for his unbelievable participation with our efforts. Also, thank you to Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, serving clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, an outstanding supporter of all of our efforts. Also, I want to thank Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance, which is in all 50 states of the USA. Check them out on the internet at pna-znp.org. Also, Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law. He's located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue. And Mr. Chester Kshanovsky and all of his staff from Serena's Auto Body Shop. And they have the two locations to serve you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. And also Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President of the PRCUA, serving Polonia for over 135 years. For more information, visit them on the internet at prcua.org. And Michael Steinman, attorney at law, serves people in Philadelphia, and you can give him a call at 215-564-1866. And Dr. Eva Machak, a great dentist, has two locations in Philadelphia, one in Port Richmond, the other in the Bridesburg section. And Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, is always there to assist you. You can give him a call at 215-575-7624. And also, the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union, an unbelievable supporter of all of our efforts, invites you to check them out on the internet by going to psfcu.com. Another great supporter of ours is the Sugar House Casino, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For more information about their entertainment schedule and what's happening there at the Sugar House, check them out on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. Also, I'd like to acknowledge the outstanding support of Pennsylvania Senator John Sabatina, who's appeared a number of times on our broadcast, and also Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor Mike Stack. I also want to say thank you to State Representative John Taylor and a gentleman I spoke to today, State Representative Gene DiGirolamo, another outstanding individual and advocate for all of our efforts. And also, may I also acknowledge Mark Andel from the Made in America store. Wow, what a guy. Mark, I hear about you at least once every day, and I hope that people are coming on your site and giving you some of the business that I tell them to try to do what they can do. But check out Mark 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet by going to madeinamericastore.com, and your items will be shipped to you promptly. I just want to also acknowledge Mike Sessions and Go for USA. His link is on the bottom of our internet site. We're going to put a newer link up there close to the top. And I want to thank Mike, who is doing a special project for us. I also want to acknowledge that Jude Watkins from AmeriLoop, he is located on the front page of our site. Just click on AmeriLoop and you'll see what he is trying to do. Also, I want to encourage you to support another supporter, and he is also listed on the front page of our internet site. It is the Million Jobs Project, and it's been unbelievably received. It's a Million American Jobs Project. Click on it, and in 4 minutes, you will see some of the difficulties that America has experienced. Also, may I encourage you to check out that link that Mark has sent. It's right under the front posting of Support the American Made Label, which is our focus this year. And in talking to these national merchandisers, I got a lesson that no one will ever believe. These people, without question, have the power to change things around in America. They have the power to go to people that Mark knows and the people who are in the system all over the country trying to sell their products, but they're not, because the profit from those items, foreign made, far outweighs their concern for the American people and especially the American workers. So don't hesitate to bypass a store if they're not making you happy as far as offering American-made labels. If movements like ours did not hit the airwaves and the American people didn't start to see and open their eyes and see what exactly is happening around them, I would hate to say we would probably be where we were 7, 8, 9 years ago. And before I go back to Rich and Mark, I know that Larkin had to be on his way. I want to give you an example once again, which Larkin knows very well. In the city of Philadelphia in 1978, there were 400 plus manufacturing jobs in the city of Philadelphia itself. Right now, there are 30,000 manufacturing jobs. Tells you a very interesting point. Now, some of those manufacturing jobs move to the counties. Too much traffic in Philly or whatever. But they moved to the counties. Others moved overseas. Philadelphia at one time made many levels of televisions and cash registers and everything else. Guess what? They're all in some other countries. All those rights and the products lines, the rights to the products to make them, the labels, everything gone overseas. We have to change this whole thing around, and it's only going to happen if you, the American consumer, continues to help us make it happen. Sorry I was so vocal today, but you know how I get sometimes. I'd like to return now to Mark. Mark, tell me, if you can, have merchandisers come to you from other places and said, hey, let me put some of your stuff in other parts of the country?
Yeah, you know, they're always out there. It's more and more, of course. We've got a few new items, coming up this year. And but, you know, the broker, there's a buyer at large stores, and then there's the broker. So the broker has a lot of power, too. But we've got to get them to take a little interest and more interest in care in their country. Absolutely, Mike, could keep pushing that. Rich, I think you had something to say also.
Yeah, I wanted to say thanks, Mark. Along with Mark, to publicly thank Mike Sessions, Jude Watkins, the people whose names are not, I understand, maybe not household names, but you guys are, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're the ones who are leading the nation in understanding that economic sovereignty made in America is so crucial to our well-being. And it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes by one of my all-time favorite Americans, General George Patton, whom I tell people all the time, I think General Patton is in the same category as our founders. I really do, Michael. I think Patton is, to me, is as great an American as Washington, Jefferson. I think he's as great as any American of all time. And he had a really famous quote where he said, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. And knowing the great general, he probably threw a couple of colorful adjectives in there that aren't air friendly. And I think about that quote when it comes to Made in America with Mark and Mike and Mike and Jude and so many others, that you guys right now are the ones pioneering this. And no pressure, but you know, while we're looking to you guys to lead, it's also the responsibility of those working with you to just a simple conversation can have, Michael, such an incredible impact. And I've said this before, and I want to reiterate this point. There are people who have listened to this show who have told me that they have become more in tune with Made in America. Some even said to me that they sought out some of the some alternative viewpoints based on a lot of the media that they listened to. And some even said to me that they even changed their votes because of listening to this show. And I said to them, you know, jokingly, well, that's good. My propaganda must be working, you know, and I didn't really mean that. But the fact that they would say that and acknowledge that, what it says to me is that this is a cause that is very much worth fighting for. And what we saw from this election is we saw a lot of people doing a little. And the reason at that point, Mark, is so important to stress and emphasize is because when you talk to people and you ask them about past elections and why they stayed home and why they didn't care, it's because they told you, and you'll hear this a lot, because they didn't think that it mattered. They didn't think that they could influence the outcome. Well, once people see, and this is the thing, Michael, that must petrify the politicians, that once they see that people, once people in the electorate and consumers see that they actually, not through Herculean, gargantuan effort, but just by a real local, you know, everyday kind of little bit of effort here, a little bit of effort there, a lot of people doing a little bit, you see what kind of impact it can have, and people now know, they've seen the living proof of it, that they actually can influence the outcome.
Yeah,
right. See that right there, Mark, is what you and Mike and Judy, that's what you guys are doing right now.
Yeah, you know, I thank you.
The responsibility of everybody else to push that with you.
Yeah, you know, I think we're all doing independence. Even Larkin with SCORE and flying around the country, and even though he's only 25, you know, and, you know, I've got the Sir Rich, you've got your business. Mike, you've got the show. Henry, you do your part. Everybody, the middle class, we have to rebuild, and people forget that middle class. I think a lot of the middle class voted the way they did, and we have the president we do because of it, because that working class is working. They're busy, and they need somebody to have their back in Washington, and I think Washington was broke. You know, it got greedy, selfish, and lazy, and again, we just got to try to somehow form one country, one team, one goal, and get on the same track. And I hate the division and the negativity. I think the media could help out a ton if they went positive.
You know, you're right, Mark. And I think that people are turning away from the negative media at this point.
Yeah, I am.
I've had it. I know that people on Saturday, there was a big rally in Florida. And I understand that there were 9,000 people in the flyer, the hangar, the airport hangar there. And there were like maybe 15,000-20,000 people outside waiting in line. I understand the heat was pretty rough down there. But the people came out and they wanted to show their support. When I start to say, well, this election, you know, changed things around, right away people tell me, oh, I hope you're not going to attack Trump. I say, no, I'm not. I'm just saying that that people came out and voted for him, and they're now going to hold his head on the chopping block for results. And I think he's shown some results. And of course, the media has to report on the results. But I'd like the media to take more time to say, okay, this particular thing was signed by the president. And then tell us what the good side and the bad side of any particular action is. Right now, they're telling us all the bad signs. Not is there
that's
a balance.
A good point, Mike. We want a balance.
We want a balance. This
and
country.
Positive,
you know, when people tell me, they say, well, this was the way we were told it was happening. I said, well, every time a job was lost, whether it was in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, or Jabip, New York, workers should have been up in arms. Families should have been up in arms because there was going to be a lack of income for them. But most importantly, where were the national and local leaders who depend on the tax dollars that those jobs bring into the coffers? They sat back and said very little. The solution right now that I see after talking to these suppliers is you have to go out, make your purchases based upon conscience.
And
if you feel good about it, buy it. Yep. If you don't, don't.
And me and Rich, I think a couple of weeks ago, we were talking how hard it is to get money from a bank, how hard it is to get capital. We're risk takers, how much interest we pay. I think we had a good conversation, Rich. It's very, very difficult, and people don't know unless they're in our shoes. And we create livelihoods.
Absolutely.
That's what businessmen do.
You know, I just clicked on the U.S. debt clock, which, by the way, is put up by the United States government. Right now, as we speak, on this 22nd day of February, America's in $19,977,000,000,000 in debt. But the thing right next to it is even more frightening, and that is the debt per citizen is $61,551.
And how could people be okay with that? What do you think, Rich?
Well, I...
I mean, are you okay with that?
You know, Mark, you know, the thing about, you know, capital, okay, this is directly tied into small business. So, again, you know, Washington touched lending and created a quagmire. Not that I'm saying government creates quagmires and everything they do, Michael, but they did here. It was, let's give everybody money. You know, remember the old underwriting? You'd walk into the bank, they put fingers on your wrist to see if you had a pulse, and you'd say, yep, okay, he's got a pulse. What does he want? I want to buy that. Okay, let's give it to him. Now reverse that, and now it's no matter how much you beg, borrow, and cheat and steal, can't seem to get anything. Well, businesses I know, Mark, that are in business a decade, some decade and a half, even longer, they're told you don't show enough profit, profit margin isn't this high. And the goal of a small business, of course, right, to grow, employ people, make money. Well, why is a small business going to send an extra $20,000 check to the IRS for a $50,000 loan with interest? And I've had this conversation with major banks, and I look at them and I say, no wonder you guys went belly up. You know, it's a good thing you had both parties, especially the Democrats, there to bail you out, because you weren't going to do it on your own. So now here we are, Mark. We have a president who's actively pursuing opening up the financial markets. And it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be like everything. There's going to be pros and cons to it. But you show me, Michael, you want to really gauge the state of affairs in the country. I don't need exit polling, and I don't need focus groups and all that crap. You want to know how to really gauge it? Ask small business owners. See what they think.
Right, and ask the people on the street,
Mark,
how they feel is happening. Oh, my goodness, I just can't believe it. How an hour. But I want to tell you, this was an hour of power. This was a very good show. And as I go around, I see the silent majority came out and is now speaking up. Merchandisers, quite frankly, are hoping that the American people will just continue to buy things as they did in the future. But merchandisers are starting to see that the American people are becoming more selective, and that's what has to continue. Thank you all for supporting our movement. Please listen to a rebroadcast of today's show. When you get the email, or you can go on our site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, download the link and send it off to family and friends so that our continued growing list of people will grow in the future. I want to thank Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Henry Chaplinsky for another outstanding broadcast. Final thoughts, guys.
Yeah, I just want to say, spring's around the corner, Made in America matters. People are making a difference. Thank you to our listeners and all the consumers out there.
God bless you, Mark. And Rich.
Thank you to everyone. I want to propose to Mark that he extend the Made in America sale.
Very good.
Extend it, Mark.
Until this Saturday at 11, when we meet again, or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Barbara will be back tomorrow at 11. Have a great one.